of energy or momentum and so on. So that's another place where you see in the great physicists this natural tendency towards these four things, something that has all these four. Okay. That's kind of strange, huh? Okay. Because here we're talking about one maker or one mover, like in our arguments for existence of God, one creator, you can say. And it's kind of strange that these same four names will show up, huh? Now, perhaps the thinking about the maker among the Greeks that is closest to us would be the great Anaxagoras, right? He spoke of a greater mind behind the as being the cause of the order in actual things. Of course, when he talks about the mind, the first thing he says is, it's unlimited. He's got one mind, right? Huh? He says it's the, what, thinnest of all things, right? And it has no matter, so it's unchangeable, right? That's kind of strange, this likeness, huh? Between what is said of the first matter and what is said of the first, what? Maker, huh? It doesn't mean that these four mean the same thing, because the same word is being said of both, huh? But it's not purely equivocal or equivocal by chance that these same four words show up for both. And if you go back to the definitions that we have of the four kinds of causes, of the four kinds of causes that Aristotle defines them, the definition of matter and the definition of mover or maker seem to both, in a way, say that it's a beginning. The definition of matter is that from which something comes to be, existing within it, huh? Well, that from which something comes to be, this is good, is obviously emphasizing it as kind of a beginning, an origin of this thing, right? The mover is defined by Aristotle as whence, from where, right? Whence there is a first beginning of motion or of rest. Huh? But the definition of form that he gives is the definition of what was to be. It doesn't have explicitly as explicit as the matter and the mover, the idea of a beginning. Huh? You see? And the end, of course, the very word end seems not to be a beginning at first, right? It's not until you get to the last meaning of beginning, as we know from the fifth book of Wisdom, that the beginning, the end is a beginning, right? But at first sight, the end is not clearly a beginning. It's just the opposite of a beginning, right? So there's a likeness between matter and maker in that they both seem to be a what? A beginning, right? And what would seem to characterize the beginning of things, huh? Well, obviously, the simple would seem to be the beginning of the composed, right? The one, the beginning of the many, right? If the beginning was not unchangeable, right, then everything would disappear, right? And if the beginning of things gives rise to all things, it must be in some way unlimited, huh? Okay? So, kind of fits our hazy notion of a beginning, right? But now you get to the important question. Is the one beginning of all things, the one simple, unlimited, unchangeable beginning of all things, is it one matter or is it one maker? Or one creator, you could say. Well, beginning means what? Almost the same thing as first, right? Before all the rest, huh? Okay? So you have to go back to the famous thing in the ninth book of Wisdom, huh? His ability before act
which based on the very first beginning of all things would be most ability and be matter, or is the beginning of all things most in act? In fact, pure act. Then you'd be back to one, what, mover or maker, right? Well, I think we taught when we did that,
there's a very important kind of distinction which corresponds to a very common kind of mistake. And this kind of distinction is the distinction between what is so simply and without qualification and what is not so simply but with some qualification, some imperfect way, huh? Okay. I was talking today in the Meno, huh? And Meno makes this kind of mistake for mixing up these two. And Socrates tries to reply and makes the same mistakes. But I was telling the students, you know, that this is the kind of mistake you're making all the time in your life. When you do what is bad because in some imperfect way it's good. Or you don't do what is good for you to do because in some way it's bad. You see? So if someone said to you, you know, is it good to rob the bank? You'd say no, huh? Okay. But why do people rob the bank? Well, in some way it is good. Increases the money in your pocket or something like that, right? Would it be good to me to murder you because you annoy me? Well, no, you say, no, of course not. Okay? But it would remove an annoyance from my life. See? So you're choosing something bad because in some imperfect way it's good, right? Or you're not doing what is good because in some imperfect way it's bad. So there's nothing so good in this life, I said, even that you should do, that doesn't prevent you from doing something else, which is good too. And so in some way, prevent you from doing good, and therefore in some very diminished sense, it's bad. Do you see that? Okay. Well, this is the kind of mistake that is made about the greatest question of all, in a sense. Is the first cause something like matter, huh? Some kind of matter, or is it like a mover or a maker? Well, as Aristotle points out in the ninth book, in the thing that grows from ability to act, ability comes before act. So in some way, ability does come before act. But then he points out that the thing that goes from ability to act doesn't give itself the act which it doesn't have. It goes from ability to act because of something already in act. So simply, you'd say that act is before ability. And therefore, the very first thing is most in act. Huh? And therefore, the final answer is it is one maker, one creator, not one matter out of all things. But because it's what? Act is simply speaking, then the first beginning will be most perfect, huh? But that doesn't come up in these other guys because they're thinking of the beginning of all things as being matter. Okay? I was like mentioning something before people came in. I happened to look at the newspaper the other day. There's this controversy about intelligent design in the schools and so on. And so somebody's writing into the Western paper there and saying, you know, they should allow this intelligent design talk and it's unscientific and so on, you know. And he laid down the three rules of science, right? Rule number one was everything's got to be explained by material cause. Okay, so that obviously excludes intelligent design. But it excludes even the matter, the mover, too, as a cause, huh? Which doesn't make any sense either in terms of generation, let's say, or something like that. Huh? But he doesn't understand what kind of a cause matter is. So, one way, let's say how useful this is, right?